Greetings, friends. Greetings. This is Pastor Nunes coming to you in Radioland. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You're listening to Wisdom's Talk with Reverend Marjorie Nunes. You are listening to Reverend Nunes on the internet at 1350WNLK.com or on radio WNLK 1350 AM and WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. Wisdom's Talk. The question for us today is, does what we believe make a difference in our lives? If so, join me as we search the Word to find new meaning for our daily lives. And so I'll be back, friends, as I will look today at Seasons of Prayer. My reflection and reflection with you this day is titled The Seasons of Prayer. And I'll be doing the Seasons of Prayer part one as we get our hearts ready to hear what thus saith the Lord. And so I hope and pray that all is well with you this day that God has made. And if it's not well with you, you do know that God loves you and God still reigns supreme. And may you just stay tuned as we return, as you listen a little bit to this song, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Give thanks with a grateful heart. And just stay tuned. We'll be right back. Amen. As we give thanks with a grateful heart this day, I'd like to share with you this teaching on the seasons of prayer, the seasons of prayer, part one. And we're going to look at two scriptures today. We're going to look at a little story from Judges 6:11. We're going to look at two stories, 6:11-18. Judges 6:11-18 and then 26-39. And we're going to also look at scriptures from Psalm 51:1-2. I want to begin the seasons with prayer by just sharing something with you as we seek God's word today. And here let me begin. Life seems to operate in seasons. Some parts of life are like spring. New beginnings, a fresh start, a brand new job, or a creative opportunity. Starting things always seem so exciting, so invigorating, and so hopeful. The possibilities are endless. Summer is when the living seems easier. Just like in life, sometimes things just click. Relationships are thriving. Work seems effortless, and the pleasant days are long. Autumn, or fall as we call it, begins a cool, refreshing change, but always a tinge of nostalgia, of days lost, and foreboding reminder of what lies ahead or lies away. Life sometimes changes, which makes us remember and long for the past. We leave friends for a new chapter, say goodbye to loved one, or move for another opportunity. And then, as certain as ever, winter arrives. Winter arrives, the cold, bitter, hard harshness of a season that indiscriminately tests the mental of us all. It begs the question, how strong are you? But through all the seasons of life, we need prayer. We need prayer through winter, spring, summer, or fall. When you're down and troubled, the songwriter says, you remember this little song, I May Be Aging Myself, by James Taylor, which says, when you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing is going right, just close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just have to call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, yes, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there. You've got a friend. Well, I want to say that the true friend we have, his name is Jesus. We could always call on him through winter, summer, or fall, and we could call on Jesus through prayers. Even though there are seasons of life that always comes and they change, I want to propose and submit to you that prayer or prayer season should never change. Dave Early writes in his book, The 21 Most Effective Prayers of the Bible, and I quote, someone says that God answers yes, no, wait, and you gotta be kidding. Someone else said that if our request is wrong, God says no. If our timing is wrong, God says slow. If we are wrong, God says grow. And if our request is right, our timing is right, and we are right, God says go. However God answers, we know that God is a wise heavenly God, heavenly Father, heavenly God, who knows what is best for us and what is best for others. Another important point he raises is that prayer is for everyone. You know, some folks think that prayer is not for them, but he raises the point that prayer is for everyone. And he continues by talking about, giving another point. He says, you know, one of these people in the Bible called Eleazar, you know, that nobody knew about, but he would have this beautiful little prayer in the Bible calling on God for, you know, for his master. And he says here, Eleazar may be intentionally unnamed to remind us that answered prayer is not the privileged domain of the big name elite. It is the heritage of all who call upon the Lord. Let me say that again. That answered prayer, right, is not the privileged domain of the big name elite. It is the heritage of all who call upon the Lord. So in that book, and I encourage you, if you could get this little book, it's a wonderful little book called The 21st Most Effective Prayers of the Bible. And we see that there's 21 folks in the Bible that he lifts up their prayers. Some we know and some we don't know. And the first seven, I'm going to start by looking at two today, but the first seven prayers begins with someone that we do not know much about, and it's called the prayer of Eleazar. And Eleazar would pray to God and he would say, give me success today. He was so specific. You find it in Genesis 24:12. He was a relative unknown praying for a blessing for his master. And Eleazar would say, give me success today. Give me success today. Just a simple prayer from a simple man, and God would answer. And here it is. It's Genesis 24:12-14. And he would pray, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master. See, I'm standing beside this spring. I'm standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to the girl, please let me down your jar, please let down your jar that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And here was the servant praying a simple prayer. He was unknown. Nobody really knows about him. No great books are written about him. But the writer of this 21 most effective prayers of the Bible would state that Eliezer said a simple sentence, "Give me success today." That's one of the first prayers he has in the Bible, in this reading, the 21 most effective prayers of the Bible. And then the second one, he talks about Jacob. You know, Jacob prayer to God, it says, "Bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me," Jacob would say. And that we find that in Genesis 32, around verse 26, Jacob would hold on to God and he would say to the angel of the Lord, "Lord, I will not let you go till you bless me." So the writer is saying, Jacob, all Jacob was asking of God is to bless me. And God would listen. God heard Jacob's prayer and God would bless him. And as Jacob wrestled with God, Jacob would be well known, not like Eliezer. He would be well known. And as you know, Jacob's name would be changed to Israel. I encourage you to read Genesis 32 and around those chapters, you would see it, that his name was changed to Israel because he held on. The Bible would say he wrestled with God. He wrestled with God and his name was changed. And you know, when the formation of Israel was coming together in the Middle East there, the name was taken as Israel because Jacob's name had been changed. So here's one prayer that says, "Give me success today." And the next prayer says, "Bless me." The writer says, be specific in your prayer. Be specific in your prayer. And then the third prayer he lifts up is a prayer of Moses. And simple verse, "Go with us. Will you go with us?" All Moses says in Exodus 33:15, in that prayer, as Moses asks God, he says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up. Do not send us up from here." This was a prayer for great leader. You know Moses' story. Moses has not been perfect, but here it is. Moses was calling out to God, and he would say, and in those lines, you know, as a writer picks up, he would say, "Bless me, God. If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here." You see that in that prayer of Moses, and that's in Exodus 33, around chapter 15. And God would listen. And so we see God listening to great leaders, and he listens to the unknown person. The key is that God hears and answers all our prayers. And the writer wants to say to us, we should make it personal. Make our prayers personal when we're seeking God in our lives, and to make it specific. Moses says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here." In other words, your presence is the key to our peace, protection, and prosperity. God, go with us. Your presence is the source of our survival and success. Without you, there will soon be none of us. And Moses would seek God and seek God for his people. So that's the third prayer that the writer picks up here out of his book, the 21 most effective prayers of the Bible. And then we see, and you see how he's given the subtitles, the simple titles. The first one is, "Go, give me success today." The second is, "Bless me," the prayer of Jacob. The third is the prayer of Moses, "Go with us." The fourth now is the prayer of Gideon. Gideon, a relatively unknown, we will see that in Genesis 6. And I want to read the scriptures that I'm going to look at from Genesis 6. And I believe it goes This comes from Judges 6. The Gideon story comes from Judges 6, and it's subtitled, Give Me a Sign. And I believe it's, I'm going to start reading at Judges 6, 11 through about 17 or thereabout, right? And here is the story. The angel of God appeared, here it is from Judges 11. One day, the angel of God came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress out of the sight of the Midianites. And the angel of God appeared to him and says, God is with you, O mighty warrior. And Gideon replied, With me, my master? If God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and godparents told us about, telling us didn't God deliver us out from Egypt? The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to the Midian. But God faced him directly. Go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you? And Gideon said to him, Me, my master, how and with what would I ever save Israel? Look at me, he says. My clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the runt of the litter. And God said to him, I'll be with you. Believe me, you'll defeat Midian as one man. And Gideon said, If you are serious about this, do me a favor. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. I'll continue to verse 18. Don't leave me until I come back and bring you my gift. And he said, I'll wait till you get back. And then when we pick up now from verse 36 to verse 39 of Judges 11, Gideon said to God, If this is right, if you're using me to save Israel, as you have said, then look, I'm placing a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If dew is on the fleece only, but the floor is dry, then I know that you will use me to serve Israel, as you said. That's what happened. When he got up early the next morning, he wrung out the fleece, enough dew to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, Don't be impatient with me, but let me say one more thing. I want to try another time with the fleece, but this time let the fleece stay dry while the dew drenches the ground. And God did it. Can you imagine? It happened. Here is Gideon, an unknown, frankly, Gideon would say he was a runt of the litter. And my reading was just from the Message Bible, right? From the Message Bible, in case you're wondering, a more modern reading, right? And God would listen to this man who would say himself that he was a what? The runt of the litter. He was nobody. And yet God listened to his prayer, and he asked for a sign, and God listened to his prayer, which means God will listen to all of us, each and every one of us, when we make it personal. Now, I don't really believe that God should give us signs about every little aspect of our lives. And I, too, kind of get, leery sometimes of asking God for a sign, because I say to myself, what if God gives me a sign that I really don't want, right? But there comes a time when there's a need for a sign that occurs really in anyone's lifetime. Sometimes we need a confirmation. God, will give us a sign sometimes in desperate times where we need just to hear from God. Israel was desperate for a deliverer. Gideon was desperate for change. And so God gave him a sign. But there are times when God will certainly, give us this kind of confirmation, this kind of sign. And there are times when God will not. But no matter what, we must understand that God wants us to pray. Gideon made it specific, and Gideon came back and came back. Here was Gideon, a nobody, the runt of the litter, and he was threshing, working in the factories, if you will, the factories of the Bible, threshing wheat. Nobody, you know, one of the weakest, he came from the weakest tribe, but God would use him. And not only God, that God would listen to his prayers. Friends, God will listen to our prayers, and God will use us. Even the least of us, God will use. And so this season of prayers reminding us that there are folks who are well known and leaders, and God hears their prayer, but God hears the prayer for baby. God hears the prayer for child. God hears the prayer for mother. God hears the prayer for father. God will hear our prayer. And so if we just seek God and be reminded that God will hear and answer every prayer we have, that, you know, we are all loved and favored by God. And so, friends, we're going to go to music as we come back for the other portion, as we look at David a little bit. And we come back, I'm going to go to music now. And hopefully this will bless your heart as we see God's face here this day. For we know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. We shall rejoice and be glad. And so I'm going to play you some music now.
Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord.
There is still the moon.
Amen. Amen. As we just worship the Lord, you're listening to Wisdom's Talk with Pastor Nunes. And now we're continuing with our teaching, the seasons of prayer. Continuing with our teaching on the seasons of prayer. And we just finished talking about Gideon and Gideon's simple prayer of, and Gideon said to the Lord, you know, Gideon said, give me a sign. And as I said, this writer of this book, the 21 most effective prayers of the Bible, breaks it down and shows that God listened to, you know, folks that are well known, and God listens to folks that are not so well known. God hears every prayer, that there may be seasons of life, but there's never a season without prayer. There's seasons of life, winter, spring, summer, or fall. These things change, but there's never been a season without prayer. And as we look at now, we'll see, I was looking at the first seven prayers in this 21 most effective prayers of the Bible. And number four, I just read, was the Gideon prayer. And then we see the prayer of Hannah. Anna would say, remember me. Remember me. Anna would say, remember me. Simple prayer. It was with purified motives, the writer says, and persistent faith. And that we could find in Samuel, the book of, I believe it's, maybe it's 1 Samuel, isn't it? 2 Samuel. No, 1 Samuel, Anna was praying for a child. Samuel was not born yet, so it's 1 Samuel. And Anna was married, and she could not have a child. She did not seem to, could not bear a child. And it's, and this is 1 Samuel 1:11. It begins there. And there she was. She was really depressed. Hannah was, because her husband had married. And it goes like this. There were a certain man, and you know, from the Ramathaim, a Sufite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanai, son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zupha, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. You find it in 1 Samuel 1:1-13. And here is Anna going, and she wants a baby. And she cannot seems to be a child. And it says, year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord, the Lord God Almighty at Shiloh. And he'd bring his wife, and they would go up year after year. And whenever Anna went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her. You see, the second wife would provoke her, till she wept and would not eat. And even though her husband would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downtrodden? You know, she would still be weeping and be depressed. And then the scripture we'll see in 1 Samuel 1:10-11 says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord, if you will only look upon your servant misery, remembering me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used in his head. And so here it is, Anna would say to God, remember me. Do you see how this book is set up with the simple prayers? Remember me. The writer takes out key points, right? So this is now, remember me. It was a purified motive with Anna. Anna just said, remember me, God. She asked him, remember me, and I will give you my son. And she did. We see that in 1 Samuel 1:10-11. So here's God listening to a woman's prayer. God listened to an unknown prayer, Eliezer listened to his prayer, the servant of Abraham. God listening to, you know, to Jacob's prayer, you know, who would become the leader, one of the leaders of Israel. God listens to, you know, listens to Gideon's prayer, an unknown. Gideon would say, I'm the runt of the litter, right? That means I'm nobody. Yet God would call him to lead the people. And if you were to read, continue to read in the book of Judges, you would see Gideon would have a little small group of folks with him, an army, and they would win the battle because God was with him. And now here's Hannah. Hannah is praying. You know what this teaching I wanted to do for you is that you can realize that you too can pray and must pray, that God will hear and answer your prayer. God will hear and answer my prayer. God will hear and answer everybody's prayer. God is faithful and just. God hears a child's prayer. And so during this time that we're living in, we got to stop, don't pray sometimes, and we should always be praying. No matter what the season of life is, we must pray. And so now we're going to continue. Here's another one. Another one of the other, as I look at the first seven, this other one is called, it said, the prayer of David, right? Number six, the prayer of David. I have sinned. I have sinned, the prayer of David. Now, here is this text. We know it's in 2 Samuel, when David, and many of us know the story of David. If not, I'll refresh your memory. David was King David, had been a shepherd boy, and then God had called him into ministry, was anointed by Samuel, called him to become to lead, and he had become king, and he would, you know, and Saul would have been dethroned, and David would become king, and David was a successful king. But David would sin against God. David sinned against God because David went to bed with one of his soldiers, his leaders of his team, of his soldiers, and he would put him, Uriah, he would have him killed so that he could get his wife. And he had committed adultery with his wife, Bathsheba, right? He committed adultery with Bathsheba she would get pregnant. And David and the prophet Nathan would come to David and tell David, David, you mess up, so to speak. You mess up, David. What have you done? You have sinned against God. You've done this thing that is horrible. You've committed murder and you've committed adultery. In essence, you've allowed this man to be killed. You put him in the front line of the battle. And this faithful servant of David, faithful soldier, put him in the front line of the battle. And the Bible tells us that David did not blame anybody else. Sometimes that's what we do when we go to God. Some of us, we want to tell God who did what, who didn't do what, instead of speaking about ourselves and what we have done. And so here it is, we see in this part of the reading, we see David saying to God, David doing what God expected David to do. And that's why God would say David is a man after his own heart, because David did what God wanted him to do. Scripture tells us that, you know, as you look at that section, it on, you know, that little reading I'm going to do for you is from Psalm 51, just a part of Psalm 51, the Psalm of David, right? David would say to God, in essence, I have sinned. And this is subtitled, A Prayer for Cleansing and Pardon. David needed cleansing and pardon after Nathan the prophet would tell him. And so David would just say, God, I have sinned. He was specific. David was specific. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Do you see everything? It's me. Have mercy upon me. He was specific. He wasn't playing around. Oh God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me through from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, verse 3 of Psalm 51, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified, so that you are justified in your sin, and blameless when you pass judgment. Do you see how humble the humility and the acceptance of sin? Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. And then David would continue, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me, it's all first person, with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. David would say, blot out all my iniquities. And then that famous verses that we know, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing heart. So here was David just beseeching God. He knew he had sinned against God. And as the songwriter says, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O God, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O God, standing in the need of prayer. David would pray that prayer and say to God, I have sinned. So I'm showing you there are all kinds of prayers, aren't there? There are all kinds of prayers that we could pray to God. We pray for help, for protection. We pray to have a child. We pray for our master. We pray simple prayers. God listens to all of us. And then we can pray something when we seek forgiveness and cleansing because we have sinned against God. You know, we have sinned against a mighty God. And because of that, you know, God, we have to seek God's face. David knew that. And so David would seek God's face, you know, and ask God for God's help, for God's help. And he went purely to God. He went purely to God and he asked for God's help. And so I want to remind you today that we too can do that. We can go to the Lord for all kinds of prayer, but first we should also know that we can go to the Lord, and we must go to the Lord in repentant prayer. I think I'm going to try to pray a little bit of this song for you. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord. Thank you. Yes, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We heard that little bit of that song, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sorry, a little bit, you could not hear that song a little bit clearly, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so we see that happening now throughout, that God will, will listen to our prayer as we seek God's face and we seek his face and we just turn from our wicked ways, that God would hear. David would realize that, as we see that in the psalm, and we see it over and over. David would know that. He would say in Psalm 17:1-5, "Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. It does not rise. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the words of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped." And that is in Psalm 17:1-5. And then you'll have in Psalm 26:1, and then 3-4, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men." That is after David had gotten forgiveness. He realized that, no, you know, I've got to do right, and he would turn his life around. And then as we come to that, and I'm going to end with that song again. When I come to the end, and it's me, me, oh Lord, I think I've got it all cleared up now after I got a little bit of problem here. But you know, this is what God does. When God wants you to hear something, he wants us to hear it. And so here now we go. I want to do one more person briefly, number 7. It is another person who was unknown, and this is the prayer of Jabez: "Enlarge my territory." Jabez, First Chronicle 4:10. Jabez was a simple man. Many people have heard the prayer of Jabez that don't even know the story, but here it is. I just read one little part of the scripture. It says, this is from First Chronicle 4, and I think I'm reading verse 9-10. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mothers had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And Jabez, she gave birth to him in pain. And Jabez cried out to the Lord of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request." You see, God summarized the entire life of Jabez into 4 facts. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. 2, he received his name Jabez because his mother gave birth to him in pain. 3, he asked God to give him his dream of an enlarged territory. And 4, God answered yes. Jabez's prayer is one of the most effective prayers in the Bible. We are not told how God answered, but we are clearly told that God granted his request. It's not just marvelous. Likewise, Jabez's request was fourfold. Bless me was number 1. Bless me. 2, enlarge my territory. 3, let your hand be with me. And 4, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Of the 4 requests made by Jabez, the one I find most compelling, the writer, I find myself, and so does the writer, is enlarge my territory. Because I find, you know, myself at times yearning for the same thing. I want God to enlarge my ministry. But is it selfish or arrogant to ask God for that? To ask God for that thing. The first time I read this, I assumed that God would say, you've got to be kidding. I assumed that God would say to me, child, you've got to be kidding, right? That's what I assumed. But God took, the sincere cry of Jabez's heart seriously. So I figure if God could do such a thing for Jabez, he might do it for me. And God, I've seen God, increase my territory from, one small church to a little bit larger church. And I don't know what God is going to do yet, because I continue to seek God and to call out to God to enlarge my territory. Asking God to enlarge our territory is not something we should feel guilty about. It can leave a powerful testimony with the world, when we do that. We could do great things for God if we trust God. We can certainly ask God for that. And so we see Jabez doing that, asking God. And I believe if Jabez had worked on Wall Street, he might have prayed, Lord, increase the value of my investment portfolio, so that when I talk to presidents of companies, I often talk to them in terms of this particular mindset. Jabez could say, listen, I could spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through my business arrangement. Lord, enlarge my territory. So we can see that asking God to enlarge is a prayer that God loves to answer. God loves to hear us want to push through and to do more in his name. And so we must continue to make it personal. The writer says, make it specific and make it personal. Make it specific and make it personal. And so today I want to touch your heart. Hopefully I'm touching your heart and encouraging your soul, and to remind you that, there should never be just one time we pray or two times, but there are seasons of prayer, and seasons of prayer mean that we are praying all through the seasons. There is no one seasons of prayer, just seasons upon seasons of prayer as we seek God's face, as we seek to be in right relationship with him, as we seek to hear from him, that we could pray like these folks pray, we could pray like they pray, we could pray and pray again and just seek his face, because we know that God hears and answers every single prayer, that God hears and answers every prayer according to his will for our lives. Sometimes he's going to say no, and sometimes he's going to say yes. And so, friends, you've been listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. And, Wisdom's Talk, we're on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6. So join me, and I hope this has touched your heart. I'm going to try to play that same song again. I think I've got it all sorted out and cleared up, and I want to play it again so you could hear it again. A little bit of it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Praise God. Got that beautiful song. Hope it touches your heart. Oh,
Oh, Lord God.
Yes, Lord, as we stand in the need of prayer today, as we stand in the need of prayer, Holy God, I pray for my sisters and brothers out there today, friends in Radio Land, as I pray for myself. And as I say, Lord God, to you, holy and righteous God, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me standing, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord God, will you just hear us this day as we stand in the need of prayer? Will you touch somebody there today, somewhere, God, who is in need of prayer, someone who needs to hear a word from you? Holy God, have mercy upon us and bless us this day. Bless us, Lord God, for we do need to hear from you. Because if you do not come and see about us, Lord God, if you do not come and see about us. And today, as I pray to you, I remember the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs and the people there, Lord God. 26 of them have gone home to be with you as they were in church worshiping you. Half of that congregation died that day. Holy Spirit, but you were there welcoming them into heaven. We wish it had not been so, but Lord God, we trust you, and we just give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Oh, in Christ's name, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may the peace of God be with you all until next time on Wisdom's Talk. Until next time, by God's grace. And be safe now, and know, and be reminded that God is waiting to hear from you, that your prayer is important to God. No matter what your status is in life, no matter what you're doing, no matter what your economic status is, no matter what life holds, God is waiting to hear from you, because God loves you and God cares for you. Again, friends, this is Wisdom's Talk on the internet and on the radio. Take care and God bless.